Thirdly, I want you to notice this about this. We see this. Now, get a hold of this. Do you understand what's took place thus far? Those people, listen to me. Those people down below that mountain, you know what they're doing during all this? Woo! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! They took all their clothes off. They're down there worshiping that calf. They're having a big time. They're not looking to worry about nothing. They're at the foot of that mountain. They don't care anything about God. They're feeling the lust of the flesh. They're doing everything they want to do. Meanwhile, up on the mountain, at the very same time, there's an intercessory prayer going on for them people. But I want you to notice this thirdly. Notice this now, verse 26. There's a choice. When Moses comes off that mountain, he begins to talk to all the people and to Aaron, and he drills him for a little while. And then now, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Because of that prayer, because of that intercessory prayer that he had with God on the mountain, because that God had said, okay, in verse 14, he said, all right, I'll do it. And the Bible said that God repented of the evil that he had planned on doing to him. Because of that, we're able to make it to verse 26. What would it have been if God hadn't changed his mind? We'd have never got to verse 26. We'd have read where God wiped them out and that was the end of it. Amen. And God made a new nation out of Moses. That's what we'd have been reading. But that's not what we read. Thank God. Look what he said in verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, look at this. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him, notice that, don't make him. Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. You know what happened because of that intercessory prayer? When Moses came off that mountain, there was a choice. There was a choice that was given. Those people had a choice. Now, before that intercessory prayer, they didn't have a choice. God was going to kill them. That was going to be it. Because of the law and the righteousness and the holiness of the law, there was no choice. But now, because intercessory prayer had been made, and now he comes off of that mountain, and now he stands before me and says, you have a choice. I want you to know tonight, you've got a choice. Amen. You can die in your sin and go to hell. Or you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent of your sin and take what Jesus has already done on Calvary and go to heaven and be with Him in all eternity. Thank God we have a choice. Because of Christ, we have a choice. It was a choice that was given to the people, amen, because there was an intercessor. He's a type of Christ. Because that Jesus Christ came and died, and He did it willingly. And as He stood there, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was giving us a choice. As He looked, and He looked at that cross, and He saw it from the day that He was on this earth, right on up to the 33rd year of His life. He could watch and see that cross getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And that separation from His Father, He could see it getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And He did it all for you and me, that we might have a choice. He wanted to give us a choice. As He stayed there in John chapter number 17, and he cried out to his Father, and he began to cry and plead with God. And he said, I pray not for these alone. He said, but I pray for all of these that should believe. He said, I'm praying that you don't deliver them out of the world, but you deliver them from the evil that's in the world. Amen. He was giving us a choice. Jesus, our Savior, Moses being a type of Christ, gave the children of Israel a choice. When he come off that mountain, he said, listen to me, you can interpret it any way you want to. He said, whosoever will, let him come. That's exactly what he said. Did you see it? You see it? He said, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Let him come, let him come, let him come. He said, you've got a choice. So we see the choice that was given to Israel has been given to you and I. Fourthly, look at this fourth thing right here. I hope I can hold it together. Verse number 30, And it came to pass on the morrow, Moses said unto the people. Now listen, let me back up just for a second. Let me say this real quick and move on. I about forgot. There was 3,000 people that chose not to come to Moses. There was those that said, no, we'll do it my way. There was those that said, no, you stayed away too long. I'm not fooling with you. I don't need you. I'll do it my way. I'm doing just fine like I am. And they died that day. They suffered the consequence of their sin. But it was their choice. You see, everybody's got a choice. And it's whether or not you make the right choice or not. But I can promise you, listen to me, and I say this with all love. If you make the wrong choice, if you don't choose Him, then you're going to face His wrath one day.
Sure.
You see, remember, Moses had done been on the mountain and pled with God. Pleading with God. God had done settled it in his mind. I'm going to kill every one of them. And God spoke up and said, no, don't do that, Lord. And God said, I'll listen to you. And so he listened to him and he said, all right. He said, I won't kill them. And those people had not a clue what had been going on the mountain. Now he comes off the mountain. He says, now you got a choice, people. You can either choose today to come over here with me or you can stay where you're at. And 3,000 of them that day, the Bible says, he said, gird up your sword to your side and go in and kill them, every one. Didn't matter who they were, what they were, anything. He said, if you don't come to this side, you're going to die today. And 3,000 of them died that day. So what did they do? They had to suffer the judgment. Why? They made a choice to suffer it. It was their choice. Amen? Well, I don't believe a holy and a righteous God would throw people into hell. You better believe He'll throw them into hell because He's give you a choice now. And one of these days, His judgment's going to fall. Amen? And if we haven't received His Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we haven't received Him, you better believe He's going to cast them into hell because He said He would. Verse number 30. So we see now, God says, okay. Moses says, okay. Now there's something left to do. We've given intercessory prayer, and that's what Christ did for us. Now think about this. God knew what kind of sin and shape we were going to be in before He ever created man. Christ, listen to me, Jesus Christ has always been. He wasn't just born in a manger and that's what the day He started. No, Christ has been before the foundation of the world. Hey, Christ has been around as long as God's been around. In eternity past, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. As a matter of fact, you see evidence of Him all through the Old Testament. I'm not getting into all of that. But my point is this. Think about the conversation in heaven as God and His Son are talking this thing out. And the righteousness and the holiness of God is saying, yes, but look where they failed. Look where they've sinned. Look where they've messed up. Look where they don't appreciate you. They're ingratitude. Look at how bad and wicked and vile. Look at just how vile they are. But then the Christ speaks up and says, but wait a minute. I'll go to the cross. I'll die for them. I'll intercede for them. I'll lay my own life down for them. I certainly don't understand it all. By any means. But I'm so glad He does. Yes, sir. Look at verse 30. It came to pass on the morrow. Now there was something else had to be done here. That Moses said unto the people. Now see, this intercessory prayer took place in heaven before we even got started.
Yes, sir.
Now we come to the place where the sacrifice is made. Verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. You see that? Don't you notice, fourthly, after the choice was given, we see the atonement for sin that's been made. I want you to get a hold of this. Let's finish reading this. Verse 31, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, now look what the atonement he did. Look what he said here. Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee. Do any of us really get a hold of the validity of this statement? Do we understand the weight of this? Scotty, I'm going to be quite honest with you, brother. I love you. Love you with all my heart. But I'm not so sure if I could tell God, put me in hell. This is if you were lost. Put me in hell instead of Scotty. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if I... Caleb, buddy, I love you with all my soul. I'd give my very life for you. But I'm not sure I could give my eternity. Now, devil's hell, separated from God for all of eternity. That's exactly what Moses did. And do you know what the validity of this statement is, to know that Moses was a type of Christ? Jesus Christ said, if I can't die for them, I'll just cease to be God. If I can't die for them. Now you think about that for a minute.
Separation.
So, he said, I'll just go to hell for them. He went into paradise. But I'm going to tell you right now, he was willing to suffer hell for you and me. I'm going to be honest with you folks, I can't get my mind around that. I'd have to probably sit for a long time and really think about that thing. It might drive me crazy. But I can't get my mind around that. But that's where the man of God, Moses, was at. Moses, meekest man in the earth, said, if you ain't going to forgive them, Lord, he said, just blot me out. Whosoever has sinned against me, or he said here, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Now you think about this. Moses knew that Christ would come. Moses knew that the Christ, Jesus Christ, would come and pay the ultimate sin price. Amen. But he was saying right here that if I can't get them, if you won't forgive their sin, Lord, then there's no need in forgiving mine. I'll go in their place. And we see right here an atonement that is made like no other. Amen. This sin, listen to me, God didn't just sweep it under the porch. God didn't just sweep it away. God had to deal with it. Amen. That has not changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I realize we live in a different dispensation of time. But I'm going to tell you right now, God still deals with sin. And God had to deal with this sin. Amen. God had to deal with this sin. And Moses, the man of God, was going to make intercessory prayer. And then he was going here, right now, he was going to make up an offering of sin. And he said, I'll give myself. That's exactly what our Savior did.
Right.
This is a perfect picture, if you will, of the righteous dying or giving their life, giving their eternity for the unrighteous. Answer me one thing. What had Moses done wrong? And I didn't see anything. Maybe he shouldn't quite got so mad. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I don't see where God's anger was waxed hot against Moses. I see where it was waxed hot against Israel. So Moses, in this sense, was righteous. What did our Savior, he that knew no sin? Huh? He hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Talking about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He tells us that Jesus Christ would make sin for us. Amen? Not his own sin, but he had your sin and my sin placed upon him. And when God looked down on this old wicked earth, and God looked at that cross right there outside of Jerusalem, he said, I've got to judge that sin. The sin of all the world was placed on that one little spot on this earth, on his precious Son. For you and me. Because he loved us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I can't emphasize that enough. We'll let that sink in. We see the atonement. Look what God said in verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now get a hold of this. I'm closing out with this right here. Let me read 34 and 35 along with it. I want you to look what God responds to Moses now. Now right here, let me just go ahead and tell you this on the onset. Now here, we find a fundamental difference. Listen to me carefully. We find a fundamental difference between law and grace. We find the fundamental difference between the Old Testament era and dispensation of time and the day of grace that you and I live in right now. Okay? That's why God could make this statement. And I'm going to show you why I mean what I mean. I'm going to give you scripture for it. Notice God's response in verse 33. Moses has said, "You blot my name out of the book." Verse 33, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Well, that wasn't quite the statement Moses was looking for, I wouldn't say. But I'm going to tell you something. God, being a sovereign God and knowing everything, was looking forward. Listen to me. He was looking forward to the day that he would deal with their sin at Calvary. He was looking to the day that he would, when he would deal, he would visit their sin when he put his son on Calvary. I want you to notice what God said right here. Verse 33, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now turn to Revelation chapter 3. Now remember what he said. I just read it to you. "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Look at verse 5. Revelation 3 and 5. "He that overcometh." Who's he that overcometh? Let me read it to you. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to read it to you. John 4 and 4 and John 5 and 4. 4 and 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." John 5, 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Okay? All right. And this is our victory, even our faith. Look at verse 5 again. Revelation 3, 5. "He that overcometh." Who's he that overcometh? He that's trusted Christ. You see that? "The same shall be clothed in white raiment." Notice this. "And I will not blot out his name." Now he's saying, "I'm not going to blot their name out." He says over in Exodus, in the day of the law and all of that, he tells Moses, he said, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out their name." But when we get over to Revelation, after we get into this day of grace, after Christ has already come and he died on the tree, now he looks back to the cross and he says, "Whosoever will," he said, "whosoever's accepted my son," he said, "I will not blot their name out." Amen. He said, "I'm not going to blot it out." See that? "But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." This fifth note that I've got on here is that we see in this last few scriptures, we see the fundamental difference between the old covenant, listen to me, and the new covenant. The old covenant, I'm not going into all this, that's a whole other message. The old covenant said, "He that sinneth it shall die. The soul that sinneth it shall die." And that's why that God, when you look in a lot of the things that you see happen in the Old Testament, that's the reason that the punishment seems so severe. And we look a lot of times and we say, "Well, why is God not doing that today? Why don't we see that today?" I mean, I'll be quite honest with you, Brother Gary. I read in Numbers, what is it, chapter number 13, where Korah and all that crowd and all that bunch over there, they got to going and murmuring against the man of God, turning rebellion and all that stuff. And what did God do? He opened up the ground and swallowed them up and took them to hell alive. Now, wait a minute. Hang on just a minute. How many people do you know that has done that exact same thing? How many people do you know that have done that exact same thing? Brother Gary, we know there's been people that drug our prior pastor over the parking lot out here, put a knife to his throat, cussed him, pushed him around, come in this church and try to tear things up and caused all kinds of havoc. But God never opened up the ground for them. We're living in a day of grace, folks. That's the difference. The severity of God in this day and hour was on these people right here. And they needed an intercessor, Moses, to speak up for them. And we see that he did that. But our God sent his only begotten Son to die for our sin. And God, the whole time, all of this, God is looking forward to the day when he would put his Son on the cross. Let me read you this in Hebrews chapter number 10. In Hebrews chapter number 10, let me see if I can get over it right quickly. We see the fundamental difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. This sort of sums it up, best way I can tell, without going into a whole lengthy message on it. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9, Hebrews number 10, chapter 10. Verse number 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. He's talking about the covenant, that he may establish the second. The second covenant is the one you and I live under right now. It's the one of Jesus. And he explains it right here, verse number 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, he did away with all the goats and the calves and the birds and all that stuff. He's done away with all that stuff. Now we have Jesus. Verse number 11. And every priest, now this is back to the old covenant. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes, not once, but oftentimes, the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. That's the old covenant. But this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, in other words, from this time forward, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever. One offering he hath perfected them forever, them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said, after he had said before, listen, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Here it is. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. In other words, there's no need for Jesus to go to the cross again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That's what I was talking about in Sunday school this morning. That veil, which is his flesh. In these last few verses, if you look at verse number 35, back in our text, in verse 34, let me read it to you. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they had made the calf which Aaron made. Listen to me. God dealt with sin in this day and hour, and he dealt with it right then because they had sinned. He judged their sins. Now, I want you to remember something. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you start off into a life of sin, whatever you sow, no matter what you do, listen to me carefully. I'm talking about a fundamental difference between the Old Testament or the old covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, God remembers their sin, and he judges them for it with a plague, because that they had sinned with Aaron, right? Is that what he said? But in our new covenant, now, while if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. Whatever you sow, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You're going to reap whatever you sow. That's a principle and a law that's laid down that none of us can change. But I want you to know something right now. This statement was made by God after that Moses had been into the throne room and offered up a sacrifice for the people. He said, I'm going to judge their sin. You know what happens now? When you and I come and we repent for our sin, God says, I don't remember it anymore. He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You see, he had not dealt with their sins from Calvary yet. One day he would. One day, looking forward, he would put his son on the cross and all those sins would be gone. But it had not happened as of yet. And so God had to deal with this sin. You and I now, listen to me. I believe with all my heart that God judges sin. But I also believe all of this. If I come to God and I've sinned, you listen to me very carefully. I'll stand flat-footed and tell any of you this, and I can take you in the Bible and show it to you. But if you come to God with a sincere heart and you ask for forgiveness and you're a Christian and you know you're saved and on your way to heaven and you ask for forgiveness, God will not judge you for that sin. Now, listen to me. You may reap some of the things that you sowed, but that's not God's judgment. But we get that mixed up. That's where we've sowed these things and now they're coming up. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap it. But that's not God sitting up here saying, okay, I'm judging you for what you did back here. Even though I know you repented right here and you said you were sorry, but I'm still going to judge you for it. No, that's not the God we serve. That is not the covenant that you and I are under. And we independent Baptists, we're real bad about that. I said we independent Baptists, we are real bad about saying God will judge you. God's going to judge you for that. If you don't get it right, He will.
Yeah.
If you don't make it right, He'll judge it. But if we repent and we ask God to forgive us, He forgives us. He's faithful and just. We see Moses as a type of Christ. Aren't you glad we've got a Christ tonight? Aren't you glad He made intercessory prayer for us? Listen, when God, however He did it, before this Bible was written down, however God in eternity past, whenever He put it in His mind to make earth and to make man, and He looked at 6,000 and some odd years later, and He saw our generation and how wicked and vile that it was, He didn't look around and say, you know what? Right there's going to be the end of it. Matter of fact, He told us what the end was going to be in His book, in His word. He didn't look at it and say, well, I'm just not going to fool with them. They're just going to fail. They're going to get miserable. They're going to be wicked and vile. But rather than saying that or saying that He wouldn't fool with us, He said, I'll send my Son for them. I'll send Jesus for them.